Now let's get into a little bit more of Bioneers and how you put together your work on Hoxie, Seeds of Change, to get Bioneers going. What do you hope to accomplish with Bioneers?
Well, you know, really what I learned from both Hoxie and Seeds of Change was that nature has done everything we want to do and without doing all the harmful things that we're doing. And I began to wonder, well, you know, here's this guy who's come up with this amazing herbal formula that, you know, is working with nature to help nature heal. And here's biological diversity at the heart of our ability to adapt to change. And so I asked myself, there must be people out there who have looked to nature as a teacher and a mentor to model how our technologies and how we can live in the world in a good way that's going to last. And I came to call them bioneers, biological pioneers. And one by one by one, over a period of many years, I found example after example of these incredible solutions. And it just, you know, was astonishing that the solutions were really out there. And it's now become a whole field of science. It didn't have a name when I started the Bioneers Conference in 1990. It's called biomimicry now. And it's the idea of mimicking nature, imitating how nature does it. And that's the question we ask is, how would nature do it? And it sounds a little abstract, but I can give you some, you know, kind of amazing stories.
Sure, please.
Well, one of my favorite pioneers is a guy named Paul Stamets, who lives up in Washington State, and he's a mycologist. He's an expert on mushrooms and fungi, which doesn't sound terribly interesting when you first hear about it. And what we know about mushrooms and fungi is that they're some of the primary digesters and recyclers in nature. They actually keep, you know, the food web moving and cycling through, you know, through life. So anyway, Paul studied a lot about the medicinal properties of mushrooms and now has several moving through the system at the National Institutes of Health that are cancer cures and all kinds of stuff. But what he asked himself was, well, if these are such powerful medicines for our bodies, could they be medicines for the land? And he got a chance to test his theory when there was a big spill of diesel fuel near his little farm in Washington.
Okay.
And so the Department of the Environment for Washington State called in, you know, put out a bid for, you know, companies to come in to do requests for proposals. And so Paul threw his hat in the ring with all these other, you know, conventional companies.
This is for cleanup now, right?
Yeah, and they gave him like a large, you know, container of diesel-contaminated dirt, basically, and said, have at it. And so what he did is he took the spore from oyster mushrooms and inoculated it into this contaminated soil.
What did he do? Mix it up and dump it in, or how did he do it?
Yeah, he basically mixes it with the soil. And so all these companies did their thing, and they covered it up with tarps, you know, and came back about 6 weeks later. And one by one by one, these other companies pulled off the tarps, and it was still, you know, the stench of hydrocarbons overwhelming. So if it was working, it was barely working. And then they get to Paul's little cell of dirt, and they rip off the tarp, and the entire thing was blanketed with oyster mushrooms, some of them a foot in diameter. And they tested the soil, and they tested the flesh of the mushrooms, and they found no toxic residue. So this is a basic bioneer principle. In nature, there is no waste. Everything is somebody's lunch of either food or energy.
Yeah.
Right?
It is amazing.
But then is when the real magic kicked in, because what happened was, you know, the mushrooms started to decay, so maggots and worms appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Birds came in to eat the worms. They carried seeds on their feathers, and within a matter of weeks, this formerly dead dirt became an oasis of life, right? And this is what life does from the point of view of biomimicry. Life creates conditions conducive to life.
Did he get the contract?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the work has progressed beyond imagination. So, you know, to give you a sense of where it went, he was ultimately contacted by the Department of Defense. And they have a big problem. You know, forget Saddam Hussein. The U.S. government has the biggest stockpiles of chemical and biological weapons in the world. And a lot of these were built 30 years ago, and they're degrading, and they have no way to get rid of the stuff.
Yeah, they don't know what to do with it.
No. And so they, in fact, just set up an incinerator in Alabama last year to burn it, which, of course, will just disperse it into the atmosphere. It's a very dangerous thing to do. So anyway, the Pentagon asked Paul if he could do anything, and what they were specifically working on was sarin VX nerve gas, which is right up there with plutonium as one of, you know, arguably the two most deadly human-created substances on the planet, right? Well, Paul lives in, you know, the basically in the old growth forests. That's his church, you know, and that's where he goes and collects a lot of these mushroom samples. And he has this incredible archive of living mushrooms. And so anyway, he gave them, you know, he did a classic blinded experiment. He sent them 28 samples to test, numbered 1 through 28. And he kind of forgot about it. And about 6 or 8 months later, I think about 8 months later, he gets a call back. And sure enough, two of these mushrooms had worked. And they completely digested and metabolized the star and VX nerve gas and left no toxic residue.
All right, two of the 28 work. Did he know which ones would work?
Oh, yeah.
He did know.
No, he didn't know which ones would work.
He didn't know.
No.
Okay.
No, he did not. And so, you know, this is now in very extensive testing, and this has huge implications. And, you know, even the diesel experiment, when you think about our farmlands, which are saturated with petrochemical-based fertilizers.
Right.
That this kind of, these mushrooms will actually clean up degraded soils that are poisoned with oil.
Are these the kind of oyster mushrooms we eat when, you know, you get like Chinese food or something?
You bet. They sell for $16 a pound here in Santa Fe. They're gourmet mushrooms.
They're expensive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can make a good living growing mushrooms.
So they have some kind of cleansing effect, I guess.
Well, everything is somebody's lunch. And for them, you know, I mean, there's microbes that will eat all kinds of poisons. And in fact, there's a whole school in biomimicry of mining now where they are actually using microbes that can take the metals off the surface of abandoned mine sites.
What a great story.
And concentrate them. There's another fellow at the United States Department of Agriculture named Rufus Cheney who has gone to abandoned mine sites, and he's found what are called plants that are called phytoaccumulators.
What are they?
They actually suck heavy metals out of the soil. And so there are farmers now who are farming copper. They're actually able to plant these plants on these abandoned copper mines.
It pulls the copper out and then you break it down again?
Yeah, you burn the plants and you recover the metal.
That's amazing.
There's several companies now doing this commercial.
I want a diamond plant, Kenny.
Well, you're all American, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I sure am. I guess it's a science, isn't it?
It is the emerging field of science that's the greatest hope that we have right now.
That's something.
That's really where the Bioneers Conference started in 1990, was this kind of work. Because what you find out very quickly is that we have solved 90% of the problems that we face right now based on things we already know.